be happy.
Hi, this is Gail Moskowitz, and you are listening to Mental Health Matters. I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and I have lived and worked in Richmond, Virginia since 1979. Actually, I moved here in 1977 to go to the School of Social Work at Virginia Commonwealth University. I've been here ever since. Mental Health Matters is a program dedicated to issues pertaining to mental health, interpersonal relations, addiction, sex and sexuality, and hopefully discussing healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and emotionally honest and fulfilling life. As we all know, we all have psychological issues. We all have emotional issues. We all do things we wished we didn't, and we all get confused sometimes. There isn't one among us who have not experienced a sad day or even an ongoing bout of depression. All of us knows what it's like to feel afraid of something that we can't really explain. All of us have experienced peer pressure, and all of us have experienced the loss of something that's precious to us. The list does go on and on. Yet we live in a society that speaks about mental health issues like we used to talk about cancer, as if we speak about it with muffled tones or under our breath, we'll somehow ward it off from it happening to us or to our family. As if mental health is, as if issues in regard to mental health have to do with moral character. We do have very morally confused notions about how to make our own pain go away, and then what we want to do is judge others for theirs. Each week on Mental Health Matters, I like to introduce a topic and discuss it, either with a knowledgeable guest or from my own body of information and experience. And then I like to give you, the audience, an opportunity to ask questions or to weigh in on the subject. The number at which to reach us today is 649-9737, 649-9737. Mental Health Matters comes to you every Thursday at 1 p.m. on WRIR 97.3 FM on your radio dial here in Richmond, Virginia. You can also listen to the program in real time by logging on to WRIR's website, www.wrir.org. This show, along with every one of my past shows, except for a few of them that didn't get taped for one reason or another, almost every show is now absolutely available for you to listen to. By listening to I Am So Excited, my officially established podcast. Yay! Easily accessed for you to listen. And all you have to do is go to my website and follow the easy instructions that my sweet friend Chris Muega was able to put in there to make it easy for you, for everybody to get to. And I cannot be more indebted to him. This show, my website is easily accessed by going to WRIR's website and then clicking on my show. Or if you send me a note, a thought, an idea, anything you would like me to hear, if you have questions, if you have ideas for a new show, will you please feel free to email me at the letters UR, Mental Health Matters at gmail.com. Those are the letters UR, Mental Health Matters at gmail.com. That's all one word. And if you send me a note, I will send you the link to my website, or you can go to WRIR's website, www.wrir.org, and click on my show, and that'll get you to my website. I hope that you will go there. The information is updated, and all the shows are now available on my podcast, which till a couple of days ago, I wasn't even really sure what a podcast was, but now I know, and I'm very excited about it. So, several shows ago, I stated that I was going to do a show dealing with the unthinkable, losing a child. I do plan on doing this show, but I'm not ready yet to present this. I intend to do it soon, and I will send out a promo to let you know when you can tune into the show and or, you know, when the podcast will be available. So, and the reason I'm holding off is I want to really pull all this information together, and I want to make sure that the show is cogent and informative and gives you all of the resources that you might need. So today I'm going to speak about a subject to which every one of us really can relate, the subject of family. You know, family, what it means to each of us, both positively and negatively. And the reason I thought about doing this show is twofold. Last week I got a question to my Gmail account that asked me why it was that a gentleman asked why he goes home every year and his family lives in a Western city. They live in Wyoming or Colorado. I can't remember right this second, actually. But they live, you know, he lives pretty far away. It takes him a while to get there. Why he feels dedicated to going every year to visit his family when he has such a miserable time, doesn't make contact with anyone, doesn't enjoy their company, and yet he feels guiltily tethered to making this voyage every year to visit his family. He stated that his parents were, you know, aging but not elderly and not infirmed, and that he just plumb did not enjoy going to go visit them. And he wanted to know why he felt like there was this invisible magnet that pulled him to do it. He had to do it. And I just thought that it was the funniest question. I have to tell you that I laughed when I read this question because it's just so beautiful. So that was one reason that made me think that doing a show on family, good, bad, and indifferent, was important. And then I came back this weekend from my little family reunion, which is just so tiny. I have a brother and a sister, and my brother has a life partner, and my sister sort of has a life partner. He wasn't there, thank God. And my nephew and my husband, and we went and spent the weekend together in a really pretty hotel on Amelia Island, which, by the way, if you've never been there, wow, it was so beautiful. It was idyllic. It really was. And, you know, so what is it that keeps us tethered to our families? So on a reasonable note, let's just say this, okay? Each of us is born into a family, and some of us get to stay with our family, and some of us are born into a family, but that family's not able to take care of us, and we might not get to stay with that family, but we go to a different family, and then that becomes our family, and they they're responsible to take care of us. So if somebody is adopted into a family, their adopted family is no less their family than anyone else's. So each of us is born into this very common to everyone thing. We're born into a family. And, you know, it used to be that families were pretty common looking, mother, father, other children or only children. Today, things are colored a little bit differently, and people are born into families of varied types. But for the most part, most of us are born into families with mother, father, and other children or not. So that's the common experience. And then nothing else is really too common after that. And it's interesting to say that all of us think that we have the family that is the craziest, or so many of us think that we have the family that is the most unusual, or we have the family that is the most dysfunctional, which is today's word for describing our families. And yet, we mostly, not all of us, but mostly we feel, and to use this word again, tethered to our family and really loyal to our family, even if we secretly think our family is the craziest of them all. And then again, some of us think that our families are very, very normal and there's nothing wrong with us and we feel very loyal to them, and only to find out as we begin to age that maybe there were things about our family that isn't as well put together as we thought. So what is it about families, good and bad, that becomes important for us to be able to talk about? This is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. If you'd like to reach me today, the number is 649-9737. Mental Health Matters comes to you every Thursday at 1 on WRIR 97.3 FM here in Richmond, Virginia. So when we are born into a family, hopefully our families, our mothers and fathers, and the people around us will take good enough care of us. They will keep us safe. They will try to teach us what they believe is moral or correct. They will try to model for us the behavior they would like us to eventually have. They will try to teach us what they believe is right and wrong. They will try to indoctrinate us, perhaps, with their religious beliefs, and that those beliefs will be helpful to us. They'll maybe indoctrinate us with their lack of religious beliefs, and that there, too, it might not be a dangerous thing. They will try to teach us that we are mostly safe in the world, but there are things we have to protect ourselves from. Most of us will have good enough parents. Some of us won't. Some of us will be born into a family where the parents are too self-absorbed or too broken themselves to teach us what we need to know in order to keep ourselves safe emotionally and physically. Some of us might be born into a family where mother or father are physically or mentally, emotionally abusive to us, or physically and emotionally unavailable to us. Some of us will be born into a family where the parents have very confused notions of what is morally correct, that they might do drugs or use too much alcohol or are physically violent toward one another. And we then have to live through this because we are powerless to the power of the older adults in our home as we begin to grow. And until we gather a voice, those people, those children who were born into those families, if nobody's noticing, might live in that mess for a very long time until somebody comes to help them. These children are born into the world and grow to be fairly traumatized adults. These are the adults who are way more likely then to create families where they terrorize their own children, because they're broken, because they cannot bring right and wrong into their thinking when they're in a narcissistic frenzy and all they care about is their own needs at that moment, whatever that might be. These are people who are alcoholics, rageaholics, drug addicts, horribly sexually addicted, immoral, thieves, drug dealers. Some people are born into those kinds of families. Most of us aren't. Most of us are born into families that do, that offer us good enough parenting. And then we grow up. So when we are attached to our families as children, we need them in a central and profound way. And then we begin to grow up, and one of the things our parents must do is let us grow up. They need to let go of us. I've said before on the show, and I'll say again, parenting is an exercise in letting go, because you cannot give your children what they need in this world if you are hovering. They have to make their own mistakes. They have to skin their own knees. They have to get their own bad grades. They have to figure out from consequences other than the consequences that are given to them by their mother and father, how the world works. So then they take what you teach them, or then we take what our parents teach us, and we begin to pair that with what the kid down the block teaches us, what our teachers teach us, what we learn from having interactions with other people, how we begin to put the world together, and we begin to have a bigger picture. So then we move through adolescence and we pull away from our families. So why as adults do we have such confused connections to family? Now, let me say a few things here. If you grow up with sisters and brothers, you have a unique experience with those sisters and brothers, a unique experience of connection to those sisters and brothers. You would think you had the exact same experience as those sisters and brothers, for they grew up in the same house as you, but you didn't, because we all know that birth order and the time in a parent life that you're born to those parents changes how they parent us. Plus, we all come into the world different. We're all different. We all interact with our parents differently. To think that our parents are going to have the same relationship to each of their children and the same relationship that, you know, that mom and dad are going to have the exact relationship with each child, when that just isn't true. Mom is going to have a different relationship with each of her children, and dad is going to have a different relationship with each of those children because we're all different. So if you grow up in a family that was a bit too chaotic, or if you grew up in a family where maybe everybody didn't get their needs met, or if you grew up in a family where there was quite a lot of abundance at the end of your family's life, but not much at the beginning, or any number of the nuances that shift in family life, you have a relationship with those siblings so often where you think your siblings got something you didn't. And each one of those siblings perhaps did get something that you didn't, but perhaps you got something they didn't. But it begins to create this paradigm in the family where there's conflict between the siblings because they view their parents as having been more been more generous, been, you know, an older kid would think that the younger kid got to do so much more than he did. And the younger kid thinks the older kid was more loved by his parents because the parents did more with him. And in truth, that older kid might have gotten his young mother's full attention before you were born. And they do have a connection that you never had with your mother. Or your mother had more free time when you were born, and the other children tired her out, and then she was a little bit more freed up when you were born. And so the children embody these truths, only each of these truths are different for each child. And that is why we grow into adulthood and have tensions with our siblings. And then we begin, then there is another piece of that tension that I just want to say before I come to the end of this thought, which is that when kids are growing up, they vie for their parents' attention, so there's conflict. They vie for the goods that are offered by the parents, and then there's conflict. One child might feel because their brother is a better athlete or their sister is brighter that not that, oh, my brother's a better athlete, but he's a good athlete and I'm a terrible athlete. Or my sister's very bright and I'm stupid, as if that's the only two things you can be. And they begin to experience themselves in relation to their siblings in terms of absolutes, and there is tension between those siblings because they are playing out the family roles with each other. And also the kids may have seen things together, bad times in their families' lives, so that when, as adults, we're together with our siblings, we have an unconscious memory of that trauma that maybe you as an adult in your new friendships and your new family connections, you don't have to cart that around. So if there's too much craziness that happened in a family when you were growing up, sometimes the only way to free yourself of that pain is to disconnect yourself from the family. So, and that is another thing too, which I think is really important to remember, is that families like to have stories about each other, and they never allow you to grow out of those stories. So if you were the kid who constantly dropped, constantly dropped things, or you were the kid who, made in his bed until he was seven, or you were the kid who got bad grades and had to take medications, or then it's like your parents and your siblings never let you grow from that sense of yourself. And so as you grow into adulthood and you make more adult relationships and other family connections, families of your own, it only feels good to be with your newfound friendships and your new connections, because you don't have to cart around how your family views you. And then when you introduce your new friends or your new family to your old family, they like to tell stories about you. And, you know, it doesn't really feel very good because you've been running from that all these years. There's also that piece where your parents may have done something in a way that as you grew up, you tended not to like. Like, for instance, a particular religious observance, or the fact that your parents never liked to go anywhere, or they listened to music you hated, or they really weren't very big talkers, or whatever it might be. And then you go home as an adult, and you go right back into their world, and you can't take your adult self into that world. And so you get sucked back into that world, being infantilized, or at least having to continue to live with your parents' rules when you're going back to visit, and it doesn't feel very good. And the other thing that so often happens is that those conflicts that you had with your brothers and sisters are embodied right there in your family of origin. So as adults, when you go back to reconnect, all that stuff is there, and it is so glaring and so uncomfortable that it's hard to figure out how to raise yourself up from childhood and put yourself into your adult shoes when you go to visit. And it's hard to know who goes home, your adult self or your childhood self. And it's a very uncomfortable place to be. So let me begin to talk about how to make some of that different. And I know it sounds hard, but you see, as an adult, you have the right to ask people to do things differently. Now, you might be the one in the family who's always asked somebody to do things differently. So when you go to your sisters and you say, listen, I don't really like it when you meet my friends and you tell them stories about how I made in my bed when I'm seven. And she says, oh, you've always been so sensitive. And there you are, back into that same conflict you've been in forever. And you have to hold strong and you have to say, you know what? Yeah, you're right. I am the sensitive one. And now I'm telling you, it is not okay with me for you to do that. And if you continue to do that, it's going to make it very difficult for me to want you to meet my new friends and to continue to be a part of my life. And you are allowed to say this as many times as it takes until your family gets it. And one of the things that is really important for you to understand is that you not only have the right to do this with your siblings, but you have the right to do this with your parents to some degree. You can't ask your parents to do their lives differently. That's not really your job. That you don't get to do that. But you certainly do have the right to ask your parents to treat you differently if you need to do that. One of the things that I always think about is my mother, of blessed memory, was always very anxious about my weight. My sister was tall and skinny, and I was short and round, and my mother was very anxious about my weight. And so she took it upon herself to remind me about how important it was for me to eat properly, every day of my life. And I will tell you, I do eat properly, but that's besides the point. And until I was 30 years old, every time I called my mother, she would say, "So how's your weight?" And it made me cringe. It made me not want to call her. It made me want to scream obscenities at her. And guess what worked? I finally said to her, "You know what, Ma? Don't ask me about my weight anymore. I hate it. I don't like it when you do that because it makes me feel like you are, in my old age, still judging me whether or not, judging my human beingness, whether I'm large or small or green or purple or pink, and I don't want that anymore because then it reminds me of my own struggles and my own sense of inadequacies in regard to my weight, and I want you to stop." And she said, "Oh, Gail, I'm just concerned." And I said, "That's nice. Be concerned more quietly." And it took us, about a year before she actually ceased and desist, but she finally stopped, and I was happy. There are other things like that that just made it a little bit easier for me to believe I was having an adult relationship with my mother. And you are allowed, you're in charge. You're in charge of asking your parents to stop infantilizing you. As you become an adult, you get to have an adult relationship with your parents. However, you know what? They're still your parents. And they're still going to worry about you in ways that nobody else is going to worry about you. And they're still going to worry if you've taken your vitamins or you're wearing a sweater or if you're successful or spending your money wisely or any of those things, because they will always be your parents, and nobody else in this whole world is going to feel about you what they feel about you. So every once in a while, they're going to overflow their banks, and they're going to ask you questions that make you feel like you're 10. And every once in a while, you're going to have to be nice to them and just answer them. And you're going to stop taking it personally. And maybe when you go home from that visit where you cannot believe you've just spent a week with people whose company you don't really like, you're going to go home and you're going to say, "You know what? Maybe I'm pretty lucky to have parents who still care about whether I spent my money properly or I wore a sweater when it was cold." And you're going to figure out the balance between things that really aren't their business. And even if they worry about you, they have to keep their worry to themselves. And what part of it you might be able to take in and feel decent about yourself. This is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. And I wish all of you who are going to have happy family reunions this summer to have a great time. And send me a note. Let me know how your family reunion went this year. And tune in next week. And listen to this show again on my new podcast.
Be happy.